Okay, so now we're in recording. I'm calling the meeting to order at 8:33 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, roll call. Kim Laird is here. Kevin Axtell.
Present.
Matt Hall.
Here.
Richard Kennison. Absent. Dave Pawson.
Present.
Tom Wall.
Here.
Aaron Stevens.
Here.
Mike Sullivan.
Future
Test Director. And Martin Frost is not here. And Sandy Brown, our recording secretary, is also absent. She called me earlier, and she will be doing the minutes from the recording. We need a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Tom.
And a second, please.
Second, Aaron.
And any changes, additions to be made?
Nope.
If not? If not, is anyone opposed to the approval of the agenda?
Martin.
Hi, Martin. We're just getting started.
Hi.
Anyone opposed to the approval of tonight's agenda? Anyone abstaining? If not, the agenda is approved. We need a motion that should read a motion to approve the minutes from February 15th.
I'll make that motion, Kevin A.
A second, please.
Seconded, Matt.
Any corrections that anyone saw that need to be made? If not, we'll go to a vote. Anyone opposed to the approval of the February 15th minutes? Any abstentions?
I'm going to abstain from Tom. I've not had a chance to look at them yet.
Okay. So Tom abstains. Anyone else? If not, the minutes are approved from February 15th. We still have not approved the December minutes, but they have been posted. Do we have anyone to make a motion to approve those December 14th minutes?
I'll make that motion, Kevin A.
Second?
Second. Second, Aaron.
Okay. Did everyone have a chance to kind of read through them?
I have not. This is Tom.
I did not either.
Okay.
No.
Do we table this once again?
So there you go. So by next meeting, we should read through them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So do we have a motion to table that?
I'll make that motion, Dave.
Dave?
Okay. Dave made the motion. A second, please.
Kevin. Second.
Okay. Anyone opposed to tabling the minutes from December 14th? Any abstentions? The minutes from December will be tabled until next month. Moving on to reports. Matt, do we have anything on the fact front?
So I sent you all the updated budget, and just as I sent it and then I looked at it again, I had one question, and perhaps, Mike, you can answer this, what have you. In the past, we've given youth groups discounted prices. A group of 10 kids plus an adult, they get a discounted price, yes?
Yes.
So in the budget, under the youth group line item, the price is listed as $130, and then we had like five listed. But five youth group people, that doesn't make sense because it would be a youth group of 10 or more. So at the minimum, we'd have 10 there, yes?
Yes, you're right, Matt. I always lowballed that number.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's $130 per person because I was thinking, wow, you know, like the Jugheads could really make bank on this if they wanted. But, okay, that's fine. I just wanted, because I changed my numbers around a little bit, and it moves us, you know, it adds an extra, you know, $300 or whatever to the total festival prices and so forth. So that's that. So I sent you all the new budget. It is balanced. Right now, as far as costs for transportation are concerned, I've purchased all the I purchased all the flights for EAAO except for one. Jordan wants to bring his girlfriend, so he's getting his own flight, and then I will reimburse him the cost of the other individuals for whom I've already paid. So I said, you handle that. He wants to come in later. He wants to stay later and fly out of a different place. So I just said, look, I'm going to spend, $1,200 on you guys per person. That's what you're going to get, $1,200. If you make a flight that's $1,600, you cover that. You pay for your girlfriend's flight and so on and so forth. So that's that. Ryan Malores has already been paid for. Got that a little cheaper, so I was happy on that. And Pavel, originally I had it all squared away, and then he says, well, I want to bring my girlfriend. I said, well, I'm not paying for her. He's like, well, she's part of my app. I said, well, I'm still not paying for her. So he said, all right, well, I'll pay for her. And then I said, okay, well, I've got the itinerary already ready for you. Here you go. You want to pay for it, and I'll reimburse you however you want to do it. And originally he said he'll pay for both, and then I would reimburse him for one ticket. And then he said he can't purchase tickets through Expedia in Moscow. So he asked if he could if we could pay for both, and then he would reimburse us. He wanted to get our bank information to transfer me the money. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. I'm sure he's not like a fee for a Russian hacker, but I'd rather just pay for both tickets, and then either he pays me cash when he arrives in July, or I just keep his the special workshop fee or what have you. We get our money back. So that's that on the flight. Erin, Fair's flight, what's the word? How's she doing with her pizza and everything?
Because the visa still. Because Anthony Tate will pay for the flight as soon as he knows that she has a visa.
Okay.
And then the one thing we are going to have is taxes and fees, which is around $130 or so.
Taxes?
What's that?
Could you repeat that?
Oh, I said the one thing we're probably going to have is taxes and fees because he's going to be using frequent flyer miles. So usually there's a taxes and fees thing of about $150 or so. So that's just one thing to be aware of.
Yeah, we don't want him to have to eat that. That's fine.
Yeah. But so, yeah, we should hear from her soon as far as the visa, and I'll get in touch with her this week and see where she's at.
Okay.
Hey, Matt?
Yeah.
We have a PayPal account, if that's helpful for Pavel to send us money through the PayPal account.
Ah, excelente.
True.
PayPal, that would be nice. Well, yeah, I'll ask him, see if he's down with that. That way I get the money quicker. So all told right now, out of the 10,000 originally budgeted for flight, I've spent 6,600 with two more people to pay for. And so it's going to be pretty close, right on it. Pavel's coming from Moscow and Jordan's coming from Belgium. If you figure, at most 1,500 per, that's $3,000. So that puts me at 9,600 for those guys and everybody, and then everybody's there. So that's that. Then let's go. Boom, boom, boom. I'm looking here. One thing I wanted to get all y'all's opinion on is changing the dates of early bird registration. Right now on the website, they're listed as April 30th, and I'd like to move that to May 15th, simply because it's on us for getting the registration up late, so I want to give people a little more time to get the early price. If we move it to...
I think you should, Matt.
Yeah,
They still have about 6 weeks, even if we, we're ready to go live now. So
yeah,
if we go live now, they still have 6 weeks before that original deadline.
If we move it to May 15th from starting tomorrow, March 22nd, that's 53 days at the early bird price. And then from May 15th to June 30th would be 45 days. So we've almost split it. That's fairly equitable. What do you guys think?
I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's fine.
All right.
Okay, we just need to update all the docs.
Martin, does that affect the web page itself, or does it also affect the store itself?
It affects the store, the web page, and the registration form. They all have the deadline on them.
Okay.
It's not a huge deal. We just, you know, I got.
Yeah, I can change the registration form and send you the new one.
No, don't do that. David Landown is generating the registration form right now, so he has the current source. So I'll have him update it.
Yeah, just that's the one. Change April 30th to May 30th, and that's that.
May 15th.
I was thinking something else. So that is that. Warren Hammond, I think I already mentioned, has signed on to be the championships director. So he's doing that. And he's already on it. He's talking to the theater already. He's definitely down. And then he's also going to set up the lounge again for the fun.
Awesome.
Are we going to get that fun report?
Yeah. I was going to give some time to Kevin at the end.
Nice. Perfect.
Great.
Now, another question I had about past practice is stage championships. On the website and on our stage championships registration forms, we asked for 6 DVDs. Now, last year, we did it all through YouTube, private links to the various things. What do y'all think about that?
Wait, what is this about?
We really did YouTube last year?
Yeah, is Richard here?
No,
he wasn't able to attend, but the preliminaries were done through YouTube because Rob was one of the preliminary judges last year. And I'll tell you what, it worked a lot smoother as far as he was concerned because we didn't have to work, you know, wait for DVDs to come in. It seemed to be better for our foreign competitors.
Yeah.
As well, because otherwise they have to ship, I think it was 6 or 8 DVDs to one person, and then that championship director had to ship them out to all the judges.
Seems like a reasonable idea.
Yeah.
I seem to remember last year Jim Hendricks got a package from somebody that had some DVDs, and I think I had to help him. This is kind of a hazy memory, but I think I helped him put one of them online for somebody else. So it might be a good idea to allow some kind of DVD just in case, but that would be like an extenuating circumstance.
Right.
Yeah, so what we would need to do is change the state championship form on the webpage and the payment form that both list sending 6 DVDs, and we could merely say, you know, upload your video to YouTube and or send a copy of it to our championships director who can then upload it to YouTube and a private link, so to speak.
Right.
Okay, is that how you want to do it? Do you want to have one DVD sent in and have the championships director upload it to YouTube? Is that what you want?
Probably the easiest, if that
makes sense.
The very easiest would be for the competitor themselves to upload to YouTube and send the championships director a link.
Some people may not have a YouTube account and may not want one.
Exactly. So then the second option would be for them to send a DVD to the championships director who then goes through that process.
Okay. Do you want to specify any sort of thing about resolution, quality of the video uploaded to YouTube? Does it matter?
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. I mean,
it doesn't matter at this point. Some folks.
If I can make one suggestion that Rob made to me last year after he judged, there were 2 competitors who used all white props with a white background. It was really, really tough to see. So I don't know if it's appropriate to put in there somewhere that their props should contrast to the background.
It doesn't hurt to say it. It's not like we're giving away the store by telling them that.
Yeah, that's a one-sentence fix. No big deal. Although, yeah, I think I had a problem with those competitors last year, too, and I just marked them down. I'm like, look, if I can't see what you're doing, you don't get points for it.
Yeah, that's what he did, though.
That's like performance 101, you know, welcome to the game. So,
yeah.
All right.
That's video 101. Sorry.
yeah, that, too. You know, like obviously on our stage we have a black curtain usually, so they don't have to worry about that. One of the guys did it like in his boxer. So it was hilarious.
Do we know when the deadline is for videos yet, or is Warren still figuring that out?
He's figuring it out.
Okay.
And on the website, I don't believe there's a reference to it. It just says contact Warren Hammond.
Yeah.
And then let's see what else. Richard, of course, is working on our awards committee, or he's in charge of it, so he's gonna hopefully get me some names. I think Freddie Kenton Jr. is looking like the guy for the Historical Achievement Award, and it's good since he's going to be there, obviously. But as far as Award of Excellence or education, we don't have any submissions at this point. And then let's see what else. I'm just looking. Boom, boom, boom.
There actually was one submission to Dave Finnegan and the group that put the Education Award together.
Okay.
I saw that come through my email, so I can share that with you later.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. No big deal. But that's it. Otherwise, we're pretty much good to go for going live tomorrow.
That's great. Fantastic.
It's not fantastic, but yeah, and I apologize for the delay, guys, but it is what it is, and we'll get them up there, and then we'll see what people think, if people are registering or not.
Right, yeah. Right. Great.
A lot of people at the Humboldt Festival were like, when's registration start? So that was good. At least there's people in
there. Brian Malorz and I talked about it. He's got, you know, that Western Canada part, and he was like, yeah, we had a big jam, and everybody was asking me because they know I know you, and
hey, maybe it's good to have it late because then people start talking about the IJA.
Yeah, they're all excited.
Yeah. I've been looking at rec.juggling. Nobody's like, when's the resident? You know, I keep waiting for that, you know, post to come up, and then I'd be like, well, actually. But now we can just post rec.juggling in other places saying it's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
So roll out. If the rollout is tomorrow, how do you guys want to play it? Tom, do you want to do the Facebook page and I'll do rec.dot? Or Aaron, do you want to do rec.dot? How do you guys want to do it?
Right.
Right.
However. I can do, I don't know, Tom, if you're busy, I can do stuff.
I'm not going to be available tomorrow until the evening, so if you want to do it in the morning, then somebody else would probably be a better bet than me.
I can do
this. This isn't going to be morning.
It's not going to be
morning.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be morning, guys.
We're not going to be ready until all of these things have been updated.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
That may not be tomorrow. Maybe Friday.
Okay. Then you want to just shoot us me and you, Matt, if you want to do rec.dot, I'll do Facebook.
Okay. Martin, I'll send you an email to confirm the changes that we've talked about. I've got like one or two others, just little things like, you know, Warren Hammond's name, the spelling or whatever. But I'll send that tonight, and then you work on it, and when you think it's good to go, just send Aaron and I an email, and then we'll deal with the publicity.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to wait for David Landau to update the registration form. So that's the only thing outside of my hands.
Okay. All right. I'll copy him as well on the corrections and so forth, but I'll ask him to do what he can.
And also, just so you know, Taylor Glenn ended up being about a month and a half late with her video, so it's ready right now. It should be ready this afternoon, so that's perfect. It's the promo video for the festival, so we can put that hopefully tomorrow or the next day. Yeah, it's perfect timing because that's going to get folks excited about it. So
before I hand it over to Kevin for the fun, I have one last thing, and that's my trip out to Winston-Salem during my spring break. I've purchased the ticket. I'm going out April 2nd. And arriving early in the morning on April 3rd and leaving late on the night of the 4th. Maybe I'll be there for two full days. I've already set up times to meet with Janice Wright and the different people who are going to be there. And Janice was nice enough to comp my room for the one night I will be staying there. Flight. Does that come out of the festival budget? Mike, how did that work last year?
Yes, festival director travel comes out of the fest budget.
Was that budget
now,
in?
It's not in the budget. My flight is $319, so not bad. Not huge, but
well, the IJA has to pay for that, so just put it in the budget, and it'll be an expense. You know, we'll probably save some money somewhere else, but
Right.
You're certainly not paying for it out of Matt Hall's pocket, and if we didn't budget for it, that was just an oversight.
Okay. That brings our total festival profit down from $683 to $369. So, okay. Kevin?
Yeah. So, fund update. The fund has been assembled, and we've had a number of meetings so far. I guess one question for the group is, you already nominated and then voted on me as the fund director. Do we need to formally make a motion to approve all of the committee members, or is that just a separate thing?
Kevin, as far as past practice is concerned, we didn't confirm Jim Maxwell and Jack Kelly and all those guys last year.
Didn't seem necessary to me either. Great. For everyone's own knowledge, the fund committee consists of myself, Matt Hall, naturally. We have Cameron McEwen. We have Warren Hammond. We have Ross Berenson, the T-shirt guy, and then two ladies, Krista M. Batts and Catherine Carr.
Cool.
And we're definitely going with the lounge again. We have some other ideas, but we're still narrowing it down. As soon as we're really close to the finals, I'd love to just update everybody every month, but we were thinking like maybe 100, 150 beach balls flying around the gym. We're not going to go with the obstacle course. The gauntlet is not happening this year. There's talk of a like a live feed projector, pizza, of course, games, lots of fun stuff on the way. And the committee, our next meeting is next week, I believe. Yes. And, if anyone has any questions on the side for the fund, please contact me. Other than that, the committee is formed. We'll be on our fourth meeting next week, and feeling good. Oh, and my last question was, how does the fund spend the money? So, for example, how do we give Warren the funds he needs for the lounge, and who does that money come from?
Lester with the furniture is I bought it at the festival and then gave Kevin receipts and got paid at the festival.
And as far as the fun lounge, the recreation lounge, Warren worked with me, and as soon as he had contacts made and things reserved, I called and made payment with the IJA debit card.
Great. That's great. I know he already has found the local company that's going to be renting us some stuff. There's one more issue with the fund, and it's been discussed now a couple times, initially suggested by Cameron McEwen. He thinks it's really important, even vital, that we do some kind of storage and accumulate fund supplies, not just for the IJA, but possibly for use even by other regional festivals. His suggestion was a pod, and he tells me that they have these storage pods, and the longer in advance you can tell them where you want the pod, the cheaper the transportation is. So we could, have it slowly but surely sent across the country via train and have it, delivered on site each year wherever we are, was the idea. He is presently getting quotes, so I can come back to the IJA with a number, and he thinks that's very important. So that's something for people to start to think about, some form of investment in storing and preserving the fund so it can grow as far as the materials are concerned and not have to repurchase certain things every year.
Who was asking about that, Kevin, or who was suggesting that?
Cameron McEwen.
Okay. I've been in pretty constant communication with him about that idea, and I copied Jim on a couple things about a better way to go that would be a lot more economical and more practical for IJA.
Cool. I'm totally open to any method of storage, but I do think the general concept of being able to store things that we get for the festival and have more and more every year, I do like that idea. As far as the method goes, whatever's most efficient, absolutely.
Yeah.
And lastly, we're pretty much everyone's in favor on the committee of giving $5,000 to Matt for performer flights. Some particular things that we have, in part because that money's available now and others not. It is kind of overall still part of bringing fun to everyone with quality performances, neat people, workshops.
Great idea.
And that's it. That's all I got.
Two quick things that when Kevin was speaking, you mentioned Ross Berenson. Ross has already given me the final mock-ups on all the shirts in various colors. I can send that to you guys, and you guys can look at them and give me any feedback you want, but they're fantastic. And now it's moving on to the next stage where I start pricing out who can do what. My first priority is to talk to Crash and see if he wants to do it again. I know we've worked with him in the past. So if he can do it and do it for a good price, then I want to throw the business to a fellow juggler. If not, then I'm just going to bid it out and try and go local.
Okay, I got to say this on the T-shirt thing. The Humble Juggling T-shirts this year, one of the best juggling T-shirts ever. Sold out, no problem, and it was just neat. I like Ross's this year too. I think I only mentioned it as a put more focus into T-shirts, you know, in the future. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's what we did this year to make sure that we got a good one. So
The
T-shirt I think will be good, and then Paul Bachman is pretty much good to go for History Lounge again this year.
Where are you going to put Paul this year, Matt?
I talked to him about being downstairs again. He seemed amenable to the idea, so I'm going to try and slot him downstairs somewhere.
Okay, any other questions for Matt? Okay, Matt, good work. Thank you. Let's move on then. If there are no questions to future festivals, Mike submitted his report. Mike, do you have anything to add to that?
Nope, just made it back from Springfield. They have sweetened their offer over what we talked to them about originally after we had a few discussions at our meeting. And I'll be putting together a complete report on Springfield. I think it looks promising. And we can add it to the other potential sites that I listed in my report for 2014. By next month, I would like to start assembling a short list of 2014 cities, and then hopefully by festival time, we can move toward a decision on some city for 2014.
Okay. Any questions for Mike? Okay, if
I think we started a good discussion about the BGFU contract, but I think there's probably more discussion to be had, and I don't know that we want to do that on this call. I don't think it's really
right,
but we should keep that discussion going so we can drive that to completion.
Yeah. And there were also, just so you know, Mike, at the Humboldt Festival, there were a lot of people saying, when's the next West Coast Fest? And I know you're saying you're looking at trips and stuff, so that's cool.
Well, we're looking, but I forgot to mention in the Future Fest report I sent along that I tried both UC Berkeley and San Francisco State University, and both of them are completely unavailable to us. They're both too busy and too expensive.
Something I would suggest for California would just be looking at, like, state colleges that are kind of small and obscure, like College of the Redwoods, or I don't know, just different ones like in Sacramento or somewhere that's close to the Bay Area but not necessarily centralized, because it is going to be a lot more expensive in the Bay Area. And getting a little bit outside of that, you're still going to have really good quality. Like UC Davis is in Sacramento. I know that. It's probably pretty expensive, too. But there's some state colleges around there, too. So just a suggestion to find a cheaper price in that region.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions or comments for Mike? If not, is John Nickel on the call?
I am, yes.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Is there any news on the financial front from you and Holly?
No, the final numbers for last year have not been posted yet, so I'm assuming that Holly's still working on that. Hopefully by next month we'll have something for you. And one other thing for me is I didn't receive a copy of the FEST budget from Matt this time, if he could send me one.
Okay. You're not getting – not you didn't get it on Board Plus? I'm sorry?
I didn't see it. No. Did you send it out today?
Yes.
Oh, well, maybe – if it was late today, maybe I did get it and I just
– It was fairly recent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. 4 p.m. to be exact.
All right. If I've got it, then good. If not, I'll let you know.
Are you getting other mail that's going to Board Plus? There hasn't been much.
Okay. I haven't. I think I've received one Board Plus so far.
Okay.
So did you get the agenda for the meeting tonight? That would be
a
good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was
okay. Good.
And John, I think I copied you when I emailed Holly that all of our Delaware paperwork is in.
Yes. Well, I didn't get that from you, but I knew that Holly reminded you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all done. So all of our Delaware paperwork is in and fine, and we're in good shape.
Great. Good.
Okay. Any questions for John at this point? If not, website team.
That's me, I guess, Kim. Of the three shortlisted packages that we're going to evaluate, I had time to look at the web video walkthrough on the wild apricot. And I was not able to get on a webinar with the other two yet, but I hope to in the next week or two. So I should have a wrap-up on all three of those for next month's meeting.
Okay, very good. Any questions for Mike or Aaron concerning website? I do have one question, Mike and Aaron, on this. Aaron, I know you and I had this, I know we had this conversation in email a little bit. Could that be part of this whole package?
The e-zine.
Yeah. Could that be included with the upgrade of the website?
So just let me give background really quick. So one thing that I wrote Kim was just an idea of potentially seeing if there was any funding or talking potentially to EWE about getting a different, a better quality template, I guess it is, for e-juggle. The one thing I know is it's WordPress, so I don't know that it would come as part of the package for the website, Kim, because it is like a separate engine that creates it. I don't know the right lingo, but but I would think it would have to be separate from the website because it's specifically WordPress templates that we can use.
Okay. For me to approach EWE and ask him about it, I would need to have some numbers as to what the cost would be. So
totally. And this is this was just the discussion I was having with Scott and Ross, is just looking at getting like a nice logo made and a good banner made and some web support in helping design the actual site for the e-zine to make it a little more visually appealing. And then the logo, so it would just be those figures. So I can look into that. I don't know.
Let me know, and then, all we can do is ask. Any other questions on website? If not, the membership numbers are in from Marilyn. I also included the February numbers just so we can kind of take a look at, you know, where our numbers are going. So the March numbers are first. Total number of members, 1,207. I'm sorry, it's a total number of members is actually 1,438. Memberships is 1,207. So it is down a bit from our February numbers. So
one thing we haven't started as well is registration. And I don't know if
right.
we expect it, but usually by this time of year we have had started that. So I was wondering how much that might be affecting it as well.
Well, I guess we'll see once Fest registration rolls around. But, you know, it's a decent number that we're losing, and that's kind of scary. So we've got to do something to increase membership somewhere along the way.
We were also at this point, according to our strategic plan, supposed to be doing a membership drive, I believe.
Yep.
So that's something that hasn't come to be yet.
Okay.
But I know everyone's been really busy.
Yeah.
No, that's on my radar. I was going to talk about that during the Varia.
Sweet.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be great.
Awesome.
Cool.
Okay. If there's nothing more on membership, anything on education, Kevin or Aaron?
There's nothing too much new right now. Dave Pawson just wrote an awesome article for eDouble about his YEP program, and it's been getting really great response. So thank you, Dave Pawson.
Awesome.
All the people doing the work are loving it and learning a lot and kind of bonding together because of it, which is pretty sweet. And balls are on the horizon. We have one situation with the YEP balls that we were going to order, which is Don Higgins pointed out the fact that once the logo was shrunk down to a little tiny ball that you wouldn't be able to read the YEP on it. So I'm looking at, what we should do there. And I'll send an email to Kevin and Kim to get feedback on that. But, yeah, just the YEP bubble or just the girl or something. But we'll see.
Cool.
So, that's it for now.
If there's nothing more on education, let's move on to marketing and promotions with Tom. Anything going on?
Not a whole lot. there are a couple of things, I guess. The video tutorial contest had the final prize list stuff and all that stuff. That's up on the e-zine and rec.ca and Diablo.ca and contactjuggling.org and Hoop City and like anywhere that you can really think of. So that's pretty cool. It's comparable to last year. A couple of new vendors, which is neat. So that is good. The judges all seem pretty jazzed to be on board. I sent them an update with recent entries yesterday or 2 days ago. So far, we haven't had, and we definitely have not had an overwhelming number of entries. I think we have had 6 so far, which when you compare this to last year around this time, at least proportionally, it's about on par. Last year, I think we didn't even, last year we had a 2-month submission period, and this year we only have a 1 month, but at the 1 month mark last year, we had 0 entries, if I remember correctly. So that,
and that was another
big
topic at Humboldt was people saying, I'm working on my tutorial. I just did.
I remember last year thinking I was going to win by default. There's going to be enough people to claim all the prizes, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, we have 6, which actually I think if you average it out, we're doing a little bit better than we were last year. But some interesting statistics about those 6. 3 of them are from the U.S., 1 is from Bulgaria, 1 is from Mexico, and 1 is from the Netherlands.
Yahoo!
And the Mexican one is in Spanish, too. So.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, if we're talking about how this program fulfills the IJ's mission statement of rendering service to fellow jugglers or building community, I think that, I mean, this is definitely the most tangibly fulfilling year that we've had so far. because it's more global and multilingual. So that's neat. Sold a couple of stickers. Those finally came. I'm donating the first round of envelopes and the first round of stamps. So right now we're just trying to cover the initial like $55, and I think we're like $15 in. So that's pretty cool. And if nothing else, we've got a whole pile of stickers that we can use for other stuff in the future. You know, I'm planning on throwing a couple in with the prize packages that I do wind up sending out. So that's cool. I think that's really about it. I don't know if anybody has any questions. Otherwise,
any
I'm just
questions,
doing
Tom?
Work. My board run for Drexel this week, so that's great. I was doing homework last night. So. I've been busy. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Do we still have a vendor discount program, and are we offering any discount to vendor discount program participants for vendor registration at the festival? I know that the basic registration is free, so maybe there's no reason to offer a discount.
That is a good question. So far, we've not renewed the vendor discount stuff. This past year, the way that we were doing it was really cumbersome and kind of ridiculous. I don't know. A lot of vendors expressed interest and gratitude in it, and a lot of them were dissatisfied with the way it was being run. So I have not renewed anything with that. So far as the actual discounts are concerned, I don't think we're actually going to offer any kind of discounts to anybody because we have not run the program in the past 8 months at least. But I'm not dealing with vendor stuff for the festival this year, so Tony Steinbach would be the guy to ask about that. But personally, I would say keep the basic package free.
We don't have to test it on the computer or anything, right? Or on the website anymore, do we?
No.
We're still advertising to vendors on the discount, on the website.
Yep.
On the front page? Oh, I thought we
on the front page.
Okay.
We did.
I thought it was gone.
I thought it was gone. It was there recently, but it's gone now.
Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we're involving vendors in different ways now. I have spoken with some about registration stuff for the festival. People seem enthused with the fact that the basic package is free again. And I think that involving them with, you know, the video tutorial contest is more positive than the vendor discount program was, at least in terms of their exposure. So that's that.
Is
all right,
April Juggling Day stuff, vendor stuff?
I have not
vendor involvement.
Considered talking about that to anybody yet. I've been so overwhelmed with video tutorial stuff. I think, Aaron, you're planning on kind of spearheading World Juggling Day stuff this year?
I was planning to spearhead the video.
Video? Okay, cool, yeah.
But, yeah, we can talk about
yeah, we'll figure it out.
Stuff.
I'm ready to start talking about that, I guess, on April 14th after this other stuff.
Yeah.
But if somebody else likes to step up to the plate and be World Juggling Day coordinator, you know, I guess I kind of did it last year with Aaron Phelps. I don't necessarily want to be the guy in charge of it again this year because I'll be pretty super busy. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions for Tom? If not, is there anything else for reports?
I have a question. Is everybody still reading the old Board Plus forum? Because there's been very little going on there. And I posted a message about the election and about changing the rules to clean up from the lack of having a Juggle magazine. And nobody at all responded. And I posted that I thought this should be done quickly before this election really gets underway. But nobody's responded.
I need to apologize. I did read it, Martin, and I got tied up with stuff at school and just never responded to it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Is everybody else still reading the old Board Plus forum?
I go on every day.
I read it.
Okay.
Yeah, I read it.
I will say with this current crew that email tends to get somewhat more response.
yeah.
But that's something that would really be helpful to boost up a little bit of overall response.
In the past, we've tried to push people to the forum so that the discussions were were available, easily trackable,
right.
Rather than email. I mean, email's fine in certain cases, but at any rate, I would like some motion to get made. And I didn't work out a motion. I assumed that somebody on the board would do that before this meeting.
Again, I'll take responsibility for that, Martin, because I, in putting together tonight's agenda, I even completely forgot about it.
As it is, we have a bunch of different deadlines, and we only need one. We don't need all of these different deadlines and different numbers of words and all this stuff. It's all on the web now or in the email, and so we don't have a magazine space limit like we had before. So I would appreciate if people would read my...
One thing we had talked about last week, Martin, was we were going to do a mailer.
And that's the reason for having two dates this year.
That was with people who are running. Were we also going to include their campaign statements?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's
in that mailer.
Two separate ones.
But you talked about...
Because we're going to do one final mailer. Yeah.
Mailer was talked about for a late May mailing, as I understand it. And still we could use one...
Yeah.
So we could still use one, deadline in May or whatever, rather than have this complex set of deadlines and this and that. And I don't know that we have to really limit people to 100 words in the mailer. I would rather see it as a 300-word limit everywhere. Anyway, okay, I understand that the stuff has to be fit in the mailer, but... It's not one page of Juggle magazine.
I do think that it's kind of silly to have people write two campaign statements. I don't think it's necessary, personally.
Yeah.
I think one would suffice.
I have no problem with knocking it down to one. If somebody, during motions for consideration, if anyone wants to make that motion to just change it to one due date and have it be one statement of 300 words in length, that's fine. Okay. We can easily add that in. Anything else under reports? If not, we will move into motions for consideration. And the first item that I have tonight is the motion to approve the proposed 2012 festival budget, which was tabled last time. Someone to make that motion, please?
I'll make a motion to stop.
And a second?
Second, Aaron.
And discussion?
I think it mostly looks pretty healthy. I had a couple things I just wanted to make sure I was understanding. Last time we had all kinds of confusion about the facility money. Is the theater now lumped into your line item for the facility?
Yeah, give me 1 second. I'm opening it up again. There we go.
I know that's the way it was when I sent my numbers to you, Matt, facility.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, and I thought I remembered that 32,000 number is high, even if it includes the theater. Wasn't the facility like 10 and the theater was like 15? Or am I making that up?
Hold on. Facility room deficit was 20. Yeah, and then so basically the theater and the facility were lumped into the big 32 sum, and we can split that out, but.
Right, but I'm saying I think that 32 is too high for the two of them. Didn't we figure out that the facility was like 10K and the theater was like 15K, which would be 25, not 32?
Wait, hold on. No, the facility in 2009 was 31.
Right, but we know what
2007
the cost this summer, right?
Yeah, do you have the most recent contract, Matt?
Hold on, let me dig it up.
I'm sorry, I don't have my computer with me.
The 2009 number is 32,125.
Right, but we know what the room cost this summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the old line items isn't really necessary for this month.
Right.
Hold on. Still digging.
Shh.
right, here we go. Do. There we go. Yeah, the facility rental fees originally were slated at $63,300. The hotel will reduce these fees to $10,500 should we meet total room night and meal functions. For example, the $10,000 in minimum in food and beverage revenue. So the hotel reserves the right to adjust this quote, meaning if we don't meet our room nights and everything, they might charge us more. I think that's where the concern, the higher estimate went in. We want to make sure that even if we don't meet their blocks, we go high. But yeah, I mean, right now we're into the hotel and the convention center for $20,500. That's minimal.
Okay, if we're intentionally shooting a little high to give us some breathing room in case we don't hit the hotels. That makes sense. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't just putting flat out wrong numbers in there.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah.
What's the room block?
Gym fee is ten. Pardon me?
What's the room block minimum we have to hit?
478.
What? 478?
Yeah, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, is that nights? Okay. Not rooms.
Yeah, 478 room nights, I should say, yeah.
Room nights.
Okay, that sounds good. Down way from what we used to have.
Total room nights defined, yes.
Okay, the line item for Cascade of Stars is sitting at 20,000, and it sounds like you've been doing an admirable job keeping the travel budget and so on around 10. Is the other 10 for hotel rooms for the performers and such?
Right, exactly. Once again, if we don't make our room night, if we don't meet 1475, then we have to pay for all the Cascade of Stars rooms.
Right.
So that's part of that extra cost. And then the remaining 5,000 is their incidentals, their per diem, and the rest.
Right.
I mean, that 20 I think is high, but once again, you know, if we have gravy, then you know we'll have a nice pleasant surprise come July 23rd when we look at the numbers and hey, we just made 10 grand.
Yep. No, I would definitely rather
err
in that direction.
I'd be down with that. Yeah, that's the whole point behind this budget. It's about as conservative as we can make it. I mean, without going into the red. My original budget was so conservative that it was deep in the red. So.
Right.
And for those who may not know it, for every 45 paid room nights that we have at the hotel, they comp us one night of a room.
Oh, nice.
So that's usually how a lot, not all, but a lot of the performers are able to be put up that way.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the performers we have staying and how long we have them staying, you're talking, we need a minimum of 24 nights comped. You know, so do the math, 45 times 24, you know, we basically need to get the full block and maybe then some to cover all the performers' hotel fees.
Matt, how many performers do you have lined up on the names that you gave me? We only have 5 names on the website. I don't need the names, but do you have other performers already lined up?
Yeah, for the Cascade of Stars, yes. But they're all people who are just coming in and they're just going to do their thing. Like Doug Sayers is one.
Kevin Exo.
And Kevin Exo, yeah. Pardon me. So, yeah, I mean, basically, once again, I mean, we talked about this a little bit, but basically, you know, Steve Langley and I have been talking about it, and Dan Olson a little bit on the side, he's been advising. Our vision right now is Cascade of Stars will be split, one in the, you know, like either you'll have first cast would be, for example, Kevin and Doug and Fair and Freddie Kenton and the individual's champion, maybe the team's champion, people like that. Maybe we might throw one or two more in depending on who shows up. And then the second half would be EAEO and Pavel. Or we go, you know, EAEO starts the first half, and the second half is a more traditional multi-performer show. You know, because EAEO, there's four of those guys, and they've got their 60-minute show, which is all four of them, but all four of them also have individual acts, which could also go into the thing, kind of like, what was it, Look Sharp last year.
All right, does anyone have more discussion about the actual budget?
The only other line item about is...
that's okay.
The line that has $5,000 in donations, is that anything in particular that I'm forgetting about, or...?
That's from the what do you call it, Kim? Art Council?
That's from the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah,
other than that, this looks much cleaner and safer than when we started discussing it, so that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, good work, guys. Yeah. Way to go. That
looks great.
We'll see. We just got to get the numbers, man. Right now, 305 is the magic number.
305. All right.
305.
All right. Is there any further discussion, or are we ready to vote? If we're ready to vote, anyone opposed to the 2012 festival budget as was emailed by Matt? Any abstentions? This is Kim. I am going to abstain because, Matt, I haven't had a chance to open it on my computer. So that's the only reason I'm abstaining.
I actually thought about abstaining, too, since I'm the one that drew up the budget, but I'm going to put my faith in myself. So.
There you go. All right. So motion passes, and the budget is passed. Congratulations. Cool. All right. Item B is a motion to, again, approve the release of bank information to Scott Slesnick for the purpose of easing to use AdSense for advertising revenue. I do have information about this, but do we have someone to make this motion?
I'll move to discuss. Sure, this is Tom.
Yeah, that's what I mean, just to discuss at this point. A second so that we can discuss?
Second, Kevin.
Okay. I did just this week email Scott Slesnick and Scott Felter to ask them to please send us more information, that make an informed decision. We need to know more about AdSense, maybe find out other companies that are using it, other groups that are using it, so that we can maybe be directed to other sites to see what it looks like. So I'm waiting to hear back from them at this point. So I would actually recommend that we again table this until we get that information.
Sure.
I'd make a motion to table it.
Okay, that's Aaron. And do we have a second to table?
I'll second for tabling. This is Tom.
Okay. Any discussion about tabling?
I had one question to ask. I don't know where to do it procedurally. At some point, we had at least raised the question of would it make more sense to just get a separate account for this rather than to muddle it up with all our other finances.
And true.
Remind me what happened with that.
Well, this would turn into a Google Checkout account, wouldn't it? And that's kind of like PayPal, but just run by Google.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they need the banking information just so they can typically set up a the account so that it is tied to some kind of bank account just in case we run a deficit on it. At least that's the way that PayPal works.
And I'm actually hoping that Scott can explain that to us as well.
Right,
because I think I get that. It was just the question of whether we tie it into the general fund account or whether we have a separate account to, you know, isolate.
Like for the
email. Oh, you mean an entire separate bank account?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think you want to open another bank account because basically they're just going to be depositing money to the account that they receive on behalf of the store.
Yeah.
For the e-sign, I should say.
And just as a point of background, when I came on the board 7 years ago, there were at least 6 or 7, maybe more, accounts. There were signers' names on them that of people who were no longer IJA members and hadn't been for years. And it took Holly and me at least a year to get all of that straightened out, to get things kind of streamlined so that the board members were able to easily follow where our money was.
Okay.
Sure, but if we do that bad a job managing names, I'd much rather have a name on an isolated account where it doesn't belong than on the general fund where it doesn't belong.
Right, yeah, that's a fair point.
Yep,
true.
I mean, if John, as treasurer, is saying that the kind of access we're giving them is where they really can't do anything other than deposit money, then sure.
Yeah.
But the way it was initially presented was basically giving the keys to the car to Scott, which and I don't have any problem with Scott. It just seems like an unnecessary risk.
No,
right. I agree.
Kind of imprudent. Yeah, one of the main questions that I have, too, is what is the argument for having a Google AdSense account over just selling ad space ourselves? Because it seems to me that, you know, if we're looking at this as a strict, like, money-making venture, why include a middleman that, I mean, they're going to, like, the Google AdSense thing is going to give us, like, ads from Dubai. Why don't we just sell ads to Dubai instead?
Right.
You know, and I recognize that takes a little bit more legwork, maybe, and, you know, that would, you know, it's not just you click and you're done. But if this is the purpose of this idea, you know, why are we approaching it in this way? So I'd be curious to hear Scott Slesnik's reasoning for wanting to do it this way, other than actually volunteering to sell ad space directly.
Right. So as soon as I get the response, I will forward it to all the board members.
Okay.
Okay, so since we have a motion and a second to table, if there's no other discussion, is there anyone opposed to tabling this motion? Any abstentions? Okay, this motion has been tabled. Okay, does anyone want to make a motion that was suggested by Martin of taking the election dates down to one date?
And I can help you create the motion. I'll keep it simple.
I would make the motion if you want to help me make it.
Sure. So here's the motion, if you will make the following.
Yeah.
To move to change the election deadlines to be just one deadline of May 15th for nomination and for submission of one candidacy statement. There to be only one candidacy statement to be published in the various media from the IJA. That deadline would be May 15th, and that the limit of for the statement would be 300 words. There would also, as part of that, I would like to include a second statement that candidates would not be allowed to change their statement except within the first 48 hours. They could change it if they found some error, but we would not obviously change anything that went in print, but they couldn't change anything after 48 hours of submitting their statement.
Um.
to, I don't know who's the secretary,
yeah,
but...
So,
you okay with that, Aaron?
Yes. So basically, it's May 15th, deadline, one deadline, candidacy statement of 300 words, and the second piece that Martin said.
And can only make changes within the first 48 hours of submitting.
Now,
and if we're going to do it right, we should probably make it clear that the changes will only be reflected online. We have no intention of shipping out a second paper.
The whole point is that May 15th is going to be before we publish a hard copy. So if they can't make changes after May 15th, but they can only make changes within 48 hours. Let's say they submitted on May 13th.
They've got
48 hours after that to change it. So by May 15th, it's hard and fast. And by May 22nd, we're ready for the mailer. I assume we can get that out in a week.
No, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
So I will, once Aaron is done making
I
the motion,
have
I will
motioned.
Say.
I have motion, yes. The motion is made.
Aaron has made the motion. Do we have a
Aaron.
Second?
I'll second it. Dave.
Okay. Any discussion, further discussion? If not, we'll go to vote. Anyone opposed to the motion of one date of May 15th for election names and 300-word statements, and for those statements to be allowed to be edited within the first 48 hours of submission? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So then we can get... David Landown to make those changes.
Yeah. Martin, will you
be
in touch
David.
With David?
I'll work with David
okay.
on that, yeah.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay,
great. Thank you so much.
Any other motions tonight? If not, we'll move on to Varia. Dave, I believe you said you had something for Varia tonight.
Yeah, so I figured we should take a little bit of time to talk about membership, sort of two related things. So we had all kind of agreed a while ago that we couldn't responsibly renew the magazine, but it was going to ding membership, particularly until we found other ways to increase the value proposition of being a member. So I think we've sort of stopped the bleeding and things are kind of stable for the moment, but I do think we need to start working on the latter and figuring out what it is we're going to do that makes membership a more viable proposition going forward. So I don't have the answer to that, but I'm thinking certainly it, I guess my straw man was maybe by the next meeting we should all come in or post beforehand, even better, with at least one idea for discussion on how we could make it more appealing to be a member.
Agreed.
I agree.
Okay.
Yep.
So the corollary to that was that we had said that sometime before now I was going to work on a membership drive, which I did not do, clearly, but I haven't forgotten you all. So I am starting to ramp up to do that, but we're certainly in the weird position that it's a pretty hard sell right now.
Yeah.
So I think all along we had sort of figured that the sell is basically, well, if you're going to the festival, you need to be a member anyway. And if we can provide some incentive to renew sooner rather than later, then it helps with cash flow for the festival. So what I had mentioned, I don't even remember if it was in a board meeting or just offline to individuals, was trying to work with some of our contacts to get donations for prizes and say anyone who renews within this window gets put into a drawing for prizes. And we talked about things like autographed props or things like that. So that's kind of the path I'm planning on going down unless people have better ideas or objections to start seeing what I can dig up in terms of prizes or raffle prizes or whatever for people who renew by a particular deadline.
Well, personally, I think we need to reevaluate the whole pay structure, like how much it costs, the whole cost structure.
Yeah.
Because since they're not getting a printed thing, and it's obvious that, you know, it costs a lot less to distribute an electronic magazine than it does a print one. We should reflect that in the cost of becoming a member. I'm sure that with a little bit of thinking, there's probably going to be a a clever way to figure out how, I guess, the full e-newsletter, e-zine, I guess, the access, because that's one of the main benefits right now, and then also the festival. I don't know if this would be like a tiered system where one gets you, you know, full e-zine access, and then the other one gets you a discount on, I guess, festival pricing or something like that. I think that some kind of a tiered system would be great, because I'm sure there are some people who would happily continue paying the $40 per year, and that we shouldn't get in their way of doing that. But I think we would potentially get a lot more readers, especially from overseas, if we offered like an e-zine-only kind of thing. Because right now we're looking at, you know, the two IJ exclusive programs are, I mean, of course, other than the warm and fuzzy feeling in your gut for donating money to a nonprofit, are e-zine and festival.
Right, except that one of those seems to be completely invalid.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, whatever, well over 1,000 members, and what did we figure out? Like 20 people had logged in to watch Kyle's video.
Right, yeah.
That's for
whatever reason, using premium content on the e-zine as a membership benefit is not working at all at the moment. And
it's something
that even people who are already members aren't using it.
Yeah, I think that's
sure.
Something that would build after time, and right now it's, yeah, people need to know how to log on.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
and I mean, that 1,000 or so people that are currently members, that's of a demographic of members who are used to a print.
Yeah.
Publication, too. I mean, if you look at the e-zine statistics, I think yesterday we got like 1,400 unique hits on the page.
Yeah, it was like today. Yeah.
So, I mean, clearly those aren't all IJ members who are logging in or even viewing the page.
Right. I mean, I might buy it if it was only, you know, 200 or 300 of the 1,200 had logged in. But
sure,
20
sure,
or 30,
sure.
Something's fishy.
Sure, sure, sure. I agree.
But, yeah, I mean, to your point, that's kind of the first thing I was saying is right now our value proposition is off, and whether that means finding more ways to be worth $40 or lowering the price or having a tiered structure.
Yeah.
Somehow, I didn't just mean we need to find things to give people. We
right.
need to figure out
right.
how that balances out.
Right, absolutely.
We also have to take a very close look at how much it costs to run everything, because we have our bookkeeper that we have to make sure that we follow through with her contract. We have, you know, the cost of the e-zine, which, as you know, Scott actually at first wanted more than what he settled for. So, you know, we've got overhead that we have to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to kind of look at how much per member does that mean?
Right. And I think the hard thing now is that all of this is new within this last year, and we don't have, you know, we don't know how much we're going to make from this next festival. And I think come next fall would be a good time to really look at changing the cost, and that's something I was
absolutely.
Going to present at that time. I don't think right now is the right time for that.
Oh, I totally agree.
But I would say after the festival, then we assess, you know, where we are at financially, and we look at the next steps as far as tiered system or whatever it is.
Right, and that's why I figured that this membership drive is a weird one, and it's going to have to just kind of focus on, well, if you're going to the festival, you're
yeah.
going to have to join before then. So,
right.
Yeah, there's no way in the next month we're going to suddenly be able to make it more appealing to
right.
to pay $40 if you're not going to the festival. That's just not going to happen. So,
I mean, you might be able to combine it as sort of an early bird registration / membership drive. Wow.
Right. Right.
You know, like if you renew and you buy a membership package, then you get like two tickets into the raffle or whatever it is for.
I love it.
These people.
Yeah.
Or maybe make it like five or something. I don't know. But that would be a way.
Yep. So yeah, that's probably what I'm gonna start digging on a little bit harder. And if anybody has other ideas or thoughts or contacts or anything, by all means, shoot them that way.
Sure. If you want to, I don't know, we can talk sometime about vendors that might be interested in sponsoring or some of the celebrity people that I had help me out with the video tutorial thing last year. So
mm-hmm.
if you want to discuss that over the next week or two, I'm game.
Sounds good.
It would also be really fun for us just to start looking, I mean, or talking online about what ideas we have for tiered systems, just to have like have it discussed before fall comes. And just looking at different things, you know, and I think of a lot of memberships that I have anyhow, or a couple of them, it's you go in and you have the master level and the, you know, novice level, basically, you know, and like three or four different levels that you can buy in at. And I think that is really nice, and giving a really low one for college kids who love to juggle but have no money, that's great.
Yeah.
They can be a part of it, and they can be invested, and they get certain rewards because of that. And then having really rich 60-year-olds who want to give money to the IJA, they can give in at this level, you know, and then get VIP seats at the Cascade of Stars show or something, you know, and get really special rewards because of that, whatever it be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that might eventually turn into kind of a member and non-member price for the festival in the end. Like, if we had a college student, you know, like $15 membership or something that was just, you know, using subscription. And then if we had a, like a registration package that was for sale that were people that were members, you know, within 2 months of registration opening or something. So that would be a way to differentiate between old and new members.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, I don't know, I'm just talking. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good thing for us to start typing out and talking about. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that we all start thinking about that, because it's going to start to hurt us if we don't figure out some way to make the balance better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else with Daria? Thanks for bringing that up, Dave. That is important for us to get moving on.
Well, I have a question for Matt, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. Hit me.
Have you talked to Tony Steinbach about anything recently? I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, giving him some contact information and some of my old form letter stuff, and I just want to see if he's on top of that or not. I don't know if you've spoken with him.
I sent him an email about 2 weeks ago on Facebook. I haven't heard back.
Okay.
That's right.
That's great.
So he's a busy guy. I'm a busy guy.
Yeah.
What did you talk to him about?
What's that?
What did you talk to him about?
He was asking for contact information for a lot of the vendors. You know, I've got email addresses for their direct thing instead of going to some, you know, like secretary or some sort of
right.
Still
strength
thing. And I sent him a bunch of my my old form letters and things that I used last year, and a lot of the wording that I've used in the past, and also information about how to find relevant sales tax information, because that's one of the bigger jobs of the vendor coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I talked to him about a week after we had spoken, when I was on my way to Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's that. I have not really heard from him since. I'm pretty sure he's in the middle of midterms now, but that means spring break's coming up, so he's got no excuse.
I'm not gonna bother him until spring break comes around for me, because that's when I'm gonna do a little bit more work.
Okay. Anything else? If not, next item of business is to set the next meeting date. Third weekend in April is April 18th, is it?
Yes. Third Wednesday is April 18th.
Okay.
15th.
Right, is that bad for anyone?
I will almost surely be unable to make it that night.
Okay.
Which night was it again? Do you repeat that?
April 18th.
April 18th.
April 18th. Let me see.
Everybody seem to be okay? I know, Dave, you said
not. Yeah, that should be okay with me.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. All right, then let's make the next meeting at April 18th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Last item of business tonight is to adjourn. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion, Aaron.
Second.
Second? And anyone opposed? Any abstentions? And I'm sorry, I'm in a room without a clock. I can't believe I have a room without a clock. Anybody have the
3? 9:53.
Okay. 1:53. Thank you. All right, we are officially adjourned. Thank you all very, very much.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Kevin, Kevin, can you hang on for a minute?
Hi, guys.
Are you still here, Kevin? Kevin?
I think you might have left. I'm still here.
All right. All right. All right. I just wanted to talk to him about the R-Fest, and I still have to pay his baggage fee for him, so.
I'm sorry to have missed that. I hope it went well.
Yeah, it went really, really well, Matt. I couldn't believe how well it went. I mean, we came out $1,800 in the red. But for a first-year fest, everybody who runs East Coast Fest said $1,800 to lose is nothing for a first year. So we had over 200 jugglers in the gym.
Jeez,
the public show was absolutely awesome. We broke out the hovercraft and our T-shirt cannon, which we were firing clubs.
Nice.
And Richard Kohut actually did his last episode of Jugglers on Juggling on the fest. So that was really cool. But, yeah, it was awesome. You need to come out next year. Thank you.
I'll be there next year.
You better.
And thanks for all your help with the contracts.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. The theater contract is out. Bank of America has the check request, so that should have gone out or will be going out shortly. Scott knows everything going on with that. Scott at the theater, so he's aware. So anything you need, just call, text, email. You know how
now that we get online, you know, and then once we go online, we'll start seeing what the numbers are like. You know, that's been an interesting process with Martin and them, but Martin, I should say. But
it always is.
He's kind of thinking about everything. So, in any case, yeah, we'll put it up. We'll try and get it up by Friday, and then we'll see how many people sign up. We'll see what happens.
Okay, very cool. Thank you so much, Matt. We'll talk to you later. Okay.
Talk to you, Kim. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.